It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. With the November election closing in, political ads have been filling Wisconsin's airwaves.
Recently, ads supporting presidential candidate Donald Trump and Senate candidate Eric Hovde have heavily targeted their opponents' stances on transgender issues, with ads on broadcast TV, streaming services, YouTube, and more.
For a look at why Republicans are honing in on these specific issues and how it might affect our state's transgender community, Wisconsin's own Sherry Swakowski is with us.
As a retired Army colonel with 35 years of service, she's the highest-ranking out transgender U.S. Army veteran. She serves on the ACLU of Wisconsin's Board of Directors and is a longtime advocate for transgender rights. Colonel Swakowski, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Well, good morning, and thank you for having me.
Before we get to the current political campaign, can you talk a little bit about the current state of transgender rights in Wisconsin, where you've seen progress and where you've seen pushback?
Yes. Well, it's kind of a mixed bag, depending on who controls the legislature. In 2024, Wisconsin legislators introduced 17 anti-trans bills. And out of those 17, there were 13 that failed. And there were four that went all the way to the governor's desk, where Governor Evers has our back and has had our back for a while. And he vetoed the other four. So that's where we are. How that compares to nationally, we've seen a huge spike starting in 2021. And there were 143 bills passed in, or 143 bills introduced in 2021, mostly by Republican-controlled legislatures. 18 of those passed into law. In 2023 and 2024, we saw 604 and 661 introduced. And of those, 87 passed in 23 and 45 passed 2024. I'll just add that 57% of the 2024 bills targeted education and healthcare settings. And what that amounted to is in the education setting, the bills sought to deny name and pronoun changes and out trans students to their parents and ban gender identity education. On the healthcare side, the ban was really for all forms of gender-affirming care for minors, and in a few cases, adults. And this has ramifications for insurance coverage and access to services, as you can imagine. 25 states currently ban gender-affirming care, and the ban has been blocked in Arkansas and Montana, with 13 other states being challenged in the courts. So that's where we are nationally, and that's where we are have been, anyway, here in Wisconsin.
And when we talk about gender-affirming care, it's, I think, sometimes presented as though surgeries for young people are common, gender-affirming surgeries. When we're talking about gender-affirming care, is the actual range of things we're talking about, though?
Well, gender-affirming care, you know, coming from someone who's been through the process, regardless of age, starts with mental health evaluations. Not from one, but from two different qualified individuals. And then you first start getting into the medical aspects of it, and whether that's puberty blockers or hormones, that's kind of the intermediate stage. And puberty blockers are designed to suppress puberty, as you can imagine. So that gives the trans youth some time to make sure that they're on the right track. And surgeries are the last of a variety of protocols for transgender people.
Turning to this election campaign season, now these election ads, I don't know how much TV or streaming or whatever you watch, Colonel Swakowski, it seems as though these ads are unavoidable. Republican-backed ads raising issues on the transgender policies of their opponents. What kind of things are you seeing? What issues do you see coming up the most?
Yeah, it's clear, you know, to me, and I think a lot of other people, that the intent of the ads is to incite fear and division by by shaping trans people as somehow being different than the norm. And it doesn't matter. I mean, it's the same thing that happens with the color of your skin, your country of origin, and even your gender now. So the bottom line is that healthcare, or that gender affirming care, is healthcare. And it's not any different than, a person who suffers from diabetes having access to insulin to control their pancreatic enzymes. So it's really the same thing. It's just not as well known because our population is much, much smaller.
I want to listen to a part of one of these ads now. At least one of the campaign statements in this ad has been fact-checked and found to be incorrect. This is from the Eric Hovde campaign.
Democrats like Harris and Baldwin don't want you to focus on their radical record, allowing men to compete in girls' sports, funding a clinic that offers transgender therapy to minors without parents' consent.
So I want to look at both of those claims. Let's start with that second one, the claim about a clinic. The fact check found that Senator Baldwin had directed money to a nonprofit in the Madison area that provides counseling, shelter, job assistance, and other services to runaway and homeless youth, including LGBTQ youth. They have some counseling specific to LGBTQ youth, again, often runaways or homeless. What do you make of the way that was framed in that excerpt from an ad?
Well, it seems that there's a lot of bias involved in the ad, and perhaps taking things out of context a bit. LGBTQ, especially the trans youth that come out, we like to think that they're all going to be supported at home, but that isn't always the case. And that has tragic consequences. So there was just a study done and released recently that showed since the advent of all of the anti-transgender bills that have been passed into law, the suicide attempts for transgender youth has increased by 72%. So it's important that we get the facts right because there is so much potential to do, catastrophic harm when things are taken out of context. And I'll just leave it like that.
And then the other statement, allowing men to compete in girls' sports, suggesting adult men, I think, and young girls. Of course, different athletic associations have different standards for transgender participation, often requiring a certain period of time of hormone use and other restrictions. But this sports issue comes up again and again, including in campaign ads. Colonel Swakowski, what is your read on that?
Yeah, the sports issue is very troubling. When we're talking, especially trans youth, there isn't that much difference body-wise between males and females. And if you're concerned about equality in sports, it would seem to me that the same people should also be in support of gender-affirming care, because it's the administration of that care that keeps the playing field level through the use of puberty blockers and hormones later on. So there's a lot of disconnects in what you see and what you hear and what the facts really are.
Talking to retired U.S. Army Colonel Sherry Swakowski, the top-ranking out transgender U.S. Army veteran, looking at transgender issues in campaign ads this election year. Colonel Swakowski, What do you feel? What do people you talk to feel when they see themselves, as you were suggesting, targeted in so many campaign ads as a community?
Well, it makes it pretty difficult for us, but it's a constant reminder that we live with a lot of discrimination, and I always say that the transgender community, the individuals, all they have in common is the uniqueness of their journey, because every journey is so different. And it seems to me that it would be nice for us to get past this and to be accepted by society. And in fact, in large parts, we are. I remember when I was working the military ban and getting that reversed back in 2015, 2016. It was a Quinnipiac poll that came out and said that 71% of the country supported the ability of transgender individuals to serve in the armed forces. So there is a lot of support out there. It's the minority that is trying to govern for things that they may or may not really understand. And I'll just share with you what I think is really happening, that some people are combining their lack of subject matter expertise and ideological biases to create some ill-informed opinions based on what they consider research, but is actually nothing more than a selective literature review. And that's quite different from actual research.
Colonel Sokoski, you've been following, well, not just following, literally living the experience of transgender people in the United States for decades now. We're talking about a backlash, but do you see progress over the course of your lifetime? In our last minute, what do you see as a positive?
Oh, I think there are so many role models out there. You know, we are doctors and lawyers and military people and special operations people in the military. There are just so many good things going on. And come November, we're going to have the first U.S. representative who elected to the House of Representatives, who just happens to be transgender, and that's Sarah McBride from the state of Delaware. So there are positive steps going forward, and we're going to make sure that there's going to be more positive steps coming after those folks too.
Colonel Sokoski, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That's Sherry Sokoski, retired U.S. Army colonel from Wisconsin with 35 years of service, the highest-ranking out transgender U.S. Army veteran. She also serves on the ACLU of Wisconsin's board of directors and is a longtime advocate for transgender rights.